Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
There are high school kids and college kids that have gone through, that have contracted COVID-19. And they've just kind of kept their mouth shut. And they've self-quarantined or whatever it was they had to do. But the thought that I'm getting here, based on what I hear from other people, is maybe it's more rampant than what you think. But these kids are not at high risk. And so, therefore, they don't want the stigma that they have COVID-19. So they're self-quarantining or doing whatever it is that they need to do. And then they just go about their life after that. And so the numbers are always going to be skewed, particularly athletes that don't want to be seen as part of the problem at high schools and colleges. They're trying to stay low key on this because they don't want the coach to know, they don't want their teammates to know, they don't want people to know that they could be carrying it, because even if they're well over it, there's still a stigma attached to it. And because it's the summer months, they don't have to be in school, they're not in competitions, a lot of them can hide it. And I'm hearing this enough times that I know there's some validity to it. And I'm wondering if anybody else is hearing that same thing or what they're hearing. 651-989-9226. 651-989-9226. And part of it is they now have a confidence because they've been told enough by Dr. Fauci and others that, you know, you're going to be okay. Just lay low for a while. So the thought is, if that's the case, then and I can't go to a hospital to take any pill for it, I can't get a prescription for it, then why would I share that information with anyone? Well, why not just go about my business if I can hide this? And you know, what they're telling us is we probably got immunity to it, at least in the short term. But even if we don't, you're still going to go out and live after 14 days. I might as well stay low key on this thing. Keep it down on the dial, as they say. And then no one will ever know, or I'll tell people after the fact. I'll admit to it well after the fact. I'm hearing this, you know, fairly frequently. And so, therefore, the problem with that is, of course, coaches are not able to monitor it. People aren't able to monitor it because they don't know. I met a guy today. He's 65 years old. He contracted it. I was at a softball game today, a senior softball game today. We're doing a story on it, and this gentleman contracted it. I should get him on the radio here sometime soon. And he said it was awful. He said the first 2, 3, 4 days, he said, I ate 3 chicken nuggets in the first 3 or 4 days. Then I felt better. Then it regressed and I got worse again in days, 6, 7, and 8. And then I started to get better. And this was a while ago now. I think it was a couple months ago. And he said, I still have fatigue from this. But I feel, you know, I'm out of it. I feel better. But he said, I wouldn't wish this on anybody. Then I talked to another guy that I know really well that I ran to yesterday. And he had it. He's 62 years old, African-American, but doesn't have any type 2 diabetes or anything like that. And he said he feels fine now. He said there were some aches and some pains and a little bit of a scratchy throat, but nothing terrible or tumultuous. And now he feels pretty good. So, obviously, there's variations of and the severity of it is different with everybody. But I do believe that right now we've got more COVID-19 people than we'll ever know amongst the young people, because they've figured out that it's not life-threatening to them. They don't want to jeopardize their sport, their status, let other people know that they have it, and then the stigma comes with it. They don't want any of that stuff. So they're just not going to tell people. And I'm wondering if you're seeing the same thing. 651-989-9226. I don't know how you can avoid it on, I don't know how you can avoid cases of it from what I see in downtown Minneapolis, because there's so many people that are hanging around each other so close, and many without masks. And I don't know how you can avoid that long term based on the information that we have. And Nicollet Mall, for all its charm and everything else, I feel so sorry for the people that work there and have businesses there that are shut down, or it doesn't do them any good to operate right now. See, every time I walk Nicollet Mall, every day I try to. And I try to visit with the people that are out there, and some of them are challenged in life. Generally speaking, the ones that are challenged in life, the ones that need your money, the ones that are homeless or something like that, they're generally speaking pretty nice people. Sometimes they can be overbearing, and they all want to tell you their story and why they got to where they are, and then it's, I only need this much, that kind of a thing. But in general, many of them are good-spirited souls, and I don't know exactly why each one got to where they are. But in general, they're not a threat to society, except I suppose they could be a carrier of COVID-19. There's another group, and that's the healthy ones that aren't working, that come down and may be looking for trouble. That's different, and that's scary. And today I saw something, and it just speaks to when I don't think it can get any lower on Nicollet Mall, it gets lower. There was a group of four or five teenagers, I'd estimate their age 16 to 18, right in that range. And they were passing around on the sidewalk right outside of Target downtown. They had a bottle of whiskey, and they weren't hiding it. And they were passing that around while they smoked their joints. Smoked marijuana and passing a bottle of whiskey around. Blatantly. Almost as if to say, we don't care. You want to come get, you're not going to do anything to us. And I just thought about how far this place, this beautiful, potentially great piece of real estate, how far it's fallen. And there's no way that you can understand or appreciate that unless you're willing to come down and walk on Nicollet Mall. You have to insert yourself into this thing if you're really interested in solving the problem. You have to take a ride along Lake Street and see all the buildings boarded up and all the art that goes over those buildings now. You have to insert yourself into it. You should bring your children there to see it. Do it during the day. It's not threatening. It's not a scary situation. Go up to the north side to Broadway. Take a look at what happened to Cub Foods. Go over to Midway. See what they did to Midway in St. Paul. You need to do that to appreciate the first step of healing. You need to do that to understand how egregious this was and how severe it was. And how badly we need change and reform. That's the only way you can do it. But if you're sitting out there on your ass in the suburbs and you're saying, oh, we need to fix this, get involved, man. Be part of the solution. Come drive around and see it first so you understand it and feel it. And then try to make a connection to the city so that you're not just sitting on your hands and blaming somebody else, but you're actually involved in it. Reach out and do something about it. Come visit, patronize, stop on Lake Street at a deli and get something to eat and observe the culture of that area of the city so you understand it a little bit. This idea that we can fix this thing with government or with people just talking about it and saying, well, we just got to be nice to each other. The hell with that. That's never going to work. You need to connect people. You need to have people observe cultures that they've never observed before, and that's hard. That is so hard to get people to do. It's so difficult to get people to try to put themselves in someone else's place. And until we do that, until we actively do that, there's no chance. There's no chance they get this thing figured out. There's no chance that we bridge the gap or that we become a society that doesn't have racial tension and we all coexist. And I worry about that because when I walk on Nicollet Mall, it feels like the division is just as wide as it's ever been. That's what it feels like to me. And then on top of it, you're talking about the city of Minneapolis that does nothing right. You know, their number one goal is to extract money from everybody else that comes in. Yesterday, there's this guy, and he's talking to the person, the traffic control, who had given him a ticket. And he does DoorDash, right? He's a 17-year-old kid, 18-year-old kid, and he does DoorDash, and he got this ticket, and he ran in and delivered the food, blah, blah, blah. And so he's asking the guy why he got the ticket, and he says, you got to have a special permit, blah, well, how do I get a special permit? Well, you don't qualify if you're DoorDash. He says, well, then how can I get a special permit? Well, you can't. But they've got more meters available than they've ever had because nobody comes to downtown Minneapolis, and yet what they've done is the city council and Mayor Fry, they've turned loose these little what do you call them?
Meter maids.
Huh?
Meter maids.
Meter maids, but they've got, it's traffic control. Traffic but yeah, control. It's meter maids. It's another, you know. And they've turned them loose, and they've obviously said, we need to get some revenue rolling in here. Let's screw the people that come and park at the meters downtown and see if we can't nab them for $44 a pop. And this poor kid is saying, I got this ticket for $44, I think, and I don't even know what to do. I don't know how to get the right tag. And the meter maid, whoever he is, well, blah, 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 blah. Now, I happened to walk by and notice there was a ticket on my car as well. So I was right behind this guy, and I was assuring him, the guy from DoorDash, that he should never try to do business in downtown Minneapolis because they don't want us here. They don't want any of us here. They don't want any of us to do transactions here. They just want our money. So if it's DoorDash or something else, don't come to downtown. They just want to screw you over. And, I mean, they're giving tickets out. As soon as that thing expires, they're towing people. At 4 o'clock, they have meters that at 4 o'clock they run out, and from 4 to 6 you can't be in the metered area. Well, that's designed for traffic flow when it's busy. It's not busy here. Nobody's coming here. Nobody wants to be in Minneapolis. But they're trying to make up some revenue because they got no means of figuring this out creatively as to how they're going to rebuild this city. So they're sticking it to the people that could actually help infuse the city with money by making it difficult for them to come downtown by towing and ticketing them. Now think about that. Think about the oxymoronic mindset of that. Let's screw the people that come to downtown Minneapolis so that we can take more money from them and send a message to them, these people that have already volunteered to come downtown and spend money in downtown Minneapolis, let's make them hate us. And you wonder why this city is where it is. Folks, you got to come to downtown Minneapolis. You got to see what this looks and feels like. It's not the downtown Minneapolis if you haven't been here for the last few months. It's not the same as the one you saw growing up. And you got to take the trip around so you understand it. Because we can't, this thing is so broken right now, we're not going to be able to fix this thing overnight. But until people even have a grasp of what it is they're up against and the magnitude of this and how it's compounding itself daily. And Mayor Fry and the city council, I mean, they are so over their skis. They got no chance of fixing this. The only way this gets fixed is by business folks. The only way that this gets fixed is if businesses commit and say, we're going to rebuild Minneapolis for you. And that's the way it's always been. They didn't help with the stadiums. They don't help with anything. All they do is take your money. They redid Nicollet Mall, went over budget on it, and nothing got good about it. It got worse. That's how dumb they are. You think they're going to fix Minneapolis right now? The only way it's going to happen is if the suburbs get involved and big business gets involved. And I'm not so sure they've got an appetite for that right now, because as you look at it, you say, well, why do I need to be in Minneapolis? Why not just set up shop in Bloomington or Richfield or St. Paul? I don't know if St. Paul might be similar right now, but why don't I just go to a suburb? Yeah, because Minneapolis doesn't want you. For whatever reason, the arrogance of it is they don't need you. And here they sit. Interesting basketball news. We'll talk a lot about that. Brian Stanford's going to join me. He runs one of the great summer programs. James Ware is going to join me. He's head coach at Park Center. He's seen some interesting things of late. Carl Frichte is going to join me, one of the most successful high school coaches in the state, about spring football. But the list of Minnesotans that's going to go to the NBA draft is staggering. I'll fill in some of those blanks when we come back. Stay with us, Sports to the Max on WCCO. Welcome back. Let's rifle through a few phone calls before we take a break and come back with Carl Frichte. Ken and Blaine has been waiting patiently. Ken, what's on your mind?
Well, I just wanted to make a couple comments, and then I have a question. I think on let's say the teenagers that are athletes, I think they some of them may be hiding the fact that they have the virus, but the other problem would be the asymptomatic ones that don't even know they have the virus, and because they're younger, they may not feel the symptoms or whatever. So there's a couple face problem there. And then your comments on Minneapolis, I would have to agree that it's a dire situation, and I don't know how long or if ever it's ever going to come back.
Ken, I appreciate you. Go quick.
Question. I have a question for you if you have a moment.
Real quick.
The University of Minnesota has limited their fans to 1,500 per game. So I'm assuming that the Vikings, since they have a stadium that's a little bit bigger, but they would be limited to about that number maximum for their Viking games, too, because it's all the same state regulation.
15,000, you mean?
1,500.
Yeah, I didn't even hear that figure, but that's just mute. That's parents and friends. That won't
that's
even
at the university. Yeah,
yeah they'll barely be able to.
Because of the state regulations.
Yeah, that could be. I appreciate that. I don't know if the Vikings are even – they're not even entertaining fans right now. They don't even care about that. They just want to get the game on the field. So that's the least of their concerns, as they say right now. Dave and Fridley. Dave, you're on.
Hey, Mike, you're the truth teller on downtown Minneapolis. I thought you were going to get in a little trouble there with talking about downtown as a hellhole, but it's getting to be at that point. And what's going to turn it around? Is it turn around bad fast? Is it going to turn around good fast?
You mean can they turn around good fast?
Yeah.
No, I don't think they can right now. The reason I don't is I don't think they have leadership to do that. Because they're going to have to, right now, it's torn down in that sense. Now you're going to have to build it back up, and that means you're going to have to convince people, and that takes a long time to convince them to open businesses downtown and take that risk. And that's why it has to be the heavy hitters that lead. Target's already done their part. They got a store downtown. They got their corporate headquarters downtown. They've done their part. There needs to be more like that that can afford to sustain possible losses and put themselves at risk, because you can't ask small business owners to come to downtown Minneapolis right now. There's just no way. There's just no way you can ask people to put a financial risk against downtown Minneapolis right now until they get this thing figured out. So I have very little confidence that it's going to happen anytime soon. Thanks for your call. Mark,
don't get in trouble. Don't get in trouble.
I won't, I promise. Mark in Maple Grove.
Hi, Mike. Say, a couple things. Number one, the areas that you mentioned that were burned down, those are the areas that were supported by the suburbs, that people that went down there, the Midtown Global Market, Lake and Hennepin, North Minneapolis, and Midway.
Right.
So it's not like people haven't gone there. They did. And anarchists torched it. So I'm not sure who they were. Who are you referring to they were?
In terms of what?
Said that they burned those down. But secondly, in Minneapolis is doing everything in their power to keep people away. I mean, you compare the sales tax, you compare the safety of going down there. It's just a joke that the lack of leadership. So I do agree with you on that. It's just, it's unfortunate. I've been here since 1979. And I've never seen it as bad as it is right now.
Neither have I. And I've been coming downtown since 1986, and I've never seen anything that's even close to comparable in this city. Thank you for your call. But
the candy shop is a good thing down there.
Oh, I was there today. And I got a mixed bag. I got a raspberry candy, and I didn't go with chocolate covered peanuts this time. I got a caramel mellow, you know, like caramel and chocolate with a cherry on top, all kinds of good stuff. I hope that stays in business.
Oh, so do I. Thanks. Yeah.
Thanks, Mark.
Take care.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.